Welcome to the Business Benchmark Group podcast, where you'll learn how to think strategically about your business and discover that while business is not easy, it doesn't need to be hard. With over 20 years experience in turning stalling businesses into thriving enterprises, here is your host, Stefan Kazakis, the founder and CEO of Business Benchmark Group.
Welcome to another episode of Business Benchmark Group podcast, where we delve into the narratives of trailblazers who are reshaping industries and making an enduring impact on the business landscape. I'm your host, Stefan Kazakis, and today we have an extraordinary guest with us. Today, we're thrilled to introduce to you the driving force behind Trade Alliance Group, the one and only Brett Crowther. Brett's journey is nothing short of remarkable, from inheriting the family business and taking the reins as general manager to leading the transformation in how small builders and tradies source their materials, ensure that their supply chains are absolutely rigid and formidable. And his story is a testament to the power of family legacy, innovation, and steadfast commitment. In this episode, we'll explore Brett's unique perspective and how it shaped him through the years of hands-on experience, Trade Alliance Group's revolutionary approach that empowers businesses, and the meaningful relationships he has cultivated along the way. Join us as we uncover the secrets behind his unwavering commitment to the construction industry and the tangible impact that he and his organization, Trade Alliance Group, are absolutely making. Get ready to immerse yourself in the world of construction, industry, and leadership as we spotlight the general manager of Trade Alliance Group, Brett Crowther. Hey, Brett, good to have you here today. For those listening who don't know you at all, tell us a little bit of a snapshot about you and what a day in the life of Brett looks like.
Certainly. Thank you for that introduction, Stefan. I'm the eldest of seven children. I grew up in a poor household. I can see that now looking back. I didn't think it at the time, but I lost my marbles out of the rusted floor of the car. Like it was one of those interesting childhoods, but it helped shape me to who I am today. I'm a husband and father, and I'm a constantly aspiring to be a better business leader. I take my responsibilities to my blood family and my work family very seriously. I always want to do the right thing. That's who I am.
Mate, that's amazing. I was actually listening to a really cool book a couple of months ago. It's a book that's called The Originals. And it was speaking to, in one of the chapters, it was speaking to bigger families and how the younger children end up being successful in this and the older children are successful in that. And it was like decades of research as it relates to how that chapter was unpacked. And I'm really curious, where do you sit amongst the seven children? I mean, where are you in the pecking order of oldest to youngest? Where are you?
I was number one, which meant I got to see the rest of them grow up. I didn't actually change a nappy, but I could have if I wasn't too grossed out. But yeah, I think that even helped me on my parenting journey, just getting to see a lot more of that at a maturer age.
Wow. Okay, so mate, you need to read that book and don't be in a hurry to read that specific chapter, but I'm going to say, knowing what I know on the back of what I got to understand in that book, being at number one of a family of seven, you are absolutely going to resonate with what he shared. I'm thinking you will. You may not, but I just knowing you for a little while, Brett, and obviously the way led with I'm leading family and leading the work family as well, that resonates with me as it relates to what elder siblings do in bigger families. So, mate, you need to read that book, The Originals. It was written by Adam Grant, I think. Anyway, The Originals is the book, and it's a personal development book, and it's not a fictional book. Highly recommended. Hey, awesome to have you here. I'm so excited to have Brett Crowther, General Manager of Trade Alliance Group, here with us today. What has been your number one biggest learning in business or life, and how has that helped you, help shape you? Now, before you get going with that, I mean, at Business Benchmark Group, we are constantly working with small business owners to make them better owners and leaders. And you became a pivotal leader of your family business. What are the traits in leadership that hold as the utmost important pieces? And how has that been shaped over a journey of being not only in a large family environment, but a business that's constantly been growing and it's a second generation business? So what is your number one biggest learning in business and or life? And how has that continued to help shape you?
Yeah, and it was a tough one for me. I guess I realized, 6 or 7 years ago, I just can't do it all myself. Not that I was doing everything, but I was doing a lot of things. And part of the trap was I was actually doing what I thought was a decent job. I was actually pretty good at what I did. There was just so much I couldn't do it all. And so trying to be okay with letting someone else do it. Maybe they're not going to do it quite the way I do it or quite as good as I do it, but at least it would get done now and not 3 months later. And so, yeah, really, really coming to grips with I need other people to help me was the biggest one, which has helped push our whole business forward. We've gone from 7 employees 4 years ago to 17 employees today, kind of thing. And it doesn't mean life is easier. It means you get to focus on more important problems.
And it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, as the leader grow and obviously being very committed, you know, if you just reflect on what you just shared, you know, you've gone from 7 to 17 and you know, the dynamics change and the opportunities absolutely change, but so do the challenges and managing and corralling all that. But my view is always about, you know, as the resource structure of the business, the team's look and feel element of a business grows, then the opportunity to allow people to grow to truly impact the vision and the journey becomes certainly more prevalent. Now, you know, as a leader in the construction industry, what is it that you are ultimately referencing and working on, not only for yourself but your growing team, that ensure that, you know, Trade Alliance Group has a place in the market? It's certainly adding value. So the evolving needs and challenges faced by small business and tradies today, and Trade Alliance Group is an absolute choice for people, certainly minimizing their challenges, particularly in the supply chain and other factors and things that you bring into the space you focus on. But what are the insights that you have as to the evolving and the continual needs of that sector? What do you see as you know, the way forward, and how you are at Trade Alliance Group helping that specific sector?
Yeah. So if you ask a builder or tradie what's the most important thing they see in a supplier, quite often they go straight to price. They've got to have the best price. And then you ask them, okay, so if we get you the best price, is it okay if it shows up a little bit late, or it's not quite exactly what you want? Oh, no, it's got to show up on time. It's got to be the best quality. It's got to be reliable. Oh, sorry, the best price doesn't come with on time, always right. And so what we try to do is build this network of material suppliers that are competitive, quality, reliable suppliers. So it's not always going to be dirt cheap, but you know it's what you need when you need it. And it's backed up by peer reviews. So all of our other members are saying, I use these guys, they were great. It's not just taking our word for it. It's taking the word of all the other members in Trade Alliance Group saying, this is the supplier to use. So that's the material supply side of things. But we're also really focusing on what we call our toolbox of business services. So we all know builders and tradies are really good at their trade. Like, they know what to do in terms of putting whatever it is together, doing whatever they need to do, but they don't know much about running a business. And that's understandable. I didn't know either until I started proactively learning. They don't teach you that stuff at school or college or anywhere. And so we try to dig into the business side of things to see if there are areas of their business they might not even know they need some help in. And so with our toolbox of business services, we go to them and say, do you need help with estimating, bookkeeping, site safety, legal, insurance, finance, all those sorts of business components? And then we can put them in touch with someone else, another business who knows the struggles of a tradie, knows how to help them out of that. And when the builder or tradie gets really serious about leveling up their business and leadership skills as a whole, that's where we get to tell them all about Business Benchmark Group.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. But what sort of resonates for me in how you unpacked? So the material piece, you know, I can buy the cheapest, as you said, and it's not here, and I've just let my client down, which means I've burnt my reputation. Or I can absolutely optimize for a supply chain that is on time, on budget, and a little bit more than what I expected. You know, there's a price for that. And the price is minimal brain damage, in fairness, right?
Yes.
So you can't cut corners when it comes to exceptional service, first thing. So love that. Second thing, your toolbox of business services and the way you just unpack that. And again, I would imagine, and I know intimately that, you know, you're checking off and you're establishing off, is this a genuine bona fide supplier that we wish to put in front of our growing membership base across Australia, a trade alliance group. So I would imagine that, you know, if I'm a busy trader or a business, a very busy builder and I just don't have time to go and review three or four or five different suppliers to something I need, I'm just going to go with the one that sounds the best first time, and that might not be the right thing. So Trade Alliance Group is taking a lot of the guesswork out regarding those very important pieces from bookkeeping. Like we see every one of our clients' books within 48 hours of starting a journey with us. And I must say that, you know, the ratio of good books versus not so good books is certainly minimal, right? So yeah, if you're supplying bookkeeping and as a service, or insurance as a service, or toolbox excellence as a service, as in you've got that network of businesses as part of your toolbox of services, I think there's merit in absolutely having someone already check the goods and assuring the quality that's needed to make sure you're focusing as a business owner, as a trades and construction business owner, on the thing you're really good at, which is keep on being operational until such time you don't need to. So I love that. So Trade Alliance Group not only helps with procurement and reliable and reputational building procurement, but it also helps with adding all those other bits that, you know, I don't want to get it wrong the first time, right? Or the third time for that. So well done. Love that. Really, really cool. So what we're here, right? So when you think about all that, so if I'm procuring my materials and that's not ruining my schedule, and I'm also ensuring that I'm putting some real structure to the way I'm running my business and all those very important auxiliary services to help me continue to grow my business, they all equal growing profit. They all equal my focus is in the areas it needs to be. So in fairness, Trade Alliance Group is not just helping us get better at running our business in trades and construction, but they're also helping us enhance our profitability in a very competitive market. So when I share that as a reflection of what I just heard, Brett, what resonates for you? Is that a snowball or a domino result of what you do, or is that the actual motivation for what you do at Trade Alliance Group? Help our clients, our members, grow their profitability and their peace of mind. Is that what you do?
Yeah, our catchphrase is building better business, but our underlying vision and motivation is improving lives and businesses. We know if a small business, small builder, tradie, if their business gets better, their life gets better, their relationships get better, they become a better parent, sibling, son, daughter, they just become better people, and then they're able to lead and grow people under them. So everyone around them becomes better. Their whole life improves once their business is not constantly struggling.
Yeah, no, I love that. And we at Business Benchmark Group, as you know, intimately, we so resonate with that. Hey, what are you most proud of in your life? Like, you know, and this is a fairly it's a loaded question, and as I share the question, I also reflect on my response to that, right? So what are you most proud of in your life, and what would you say at this particular stage? Because you're at an interesting crossroad in life as it relates to age, and what would you say right now is your number one legacy? So what are you most proud of, and what would you say at this point is your number one legacy?
Yeah, at the risk of sounding maybe a little cliche, I would say it's got to be my son. He's growing into a beautiful soul, just a beautiful boy. All the things that I was not when I was his age. So where I was shy, he'd say g'day to everyone he passes in the shopping center. He's got this emotional awareness whenever mummy or daddy are a bit sad. It's what's wrong, it's going to be okay. So he's going to be a beautiful soul and quite possibly an excellent business leader or salesperson when he grows up. So yeah, definitely my son. But if I'm not allowed to go down that road, then I would say I'm proud of the work I've done on myself over the last few years to become a better person, therefore a better leader, which has enabled me to grow the culture of the business of Trade Alliance Group. And it's such a place that everyone comes to work and wants to be here, enjoys being here and gets excited by what we're doing. So that I can see is going to last for 100 plus years.
And it's interesting, Brett, like, you know, I mean, knowing what I know and I guess, you know, the investment you have made in yourself is what you just shared and how that's allowed and continues to allow you to, you know, go forward with the clarity and the building of something that continues to be better. And I'm just curious, right? So if you reflect on the last few years and the investment in your personal growth, the investment in your personal journey, which allows you to be the person you are today, what would you, if we were to zero in on that, because I'm really curious about this. Obviously it goes with my territory and I'm a huge, huge believer in, it's got zero to do with what you earn. It's got more to do with how curious you are about the learning and how you apply that. But if we were to zero in on one or two things in your most recent years as it relates to your personal growth, what would you say are the standout bits for you, if you're able to, again, articulate and share that with us? What are the standout things for you that have absolutely been, wow, that was a crossroad, and when I did this, this is what happened?
Good question. I guess being open to the challenge, being unafraid to embrace this awful circumstance. And let's face it, over the last 4 years, not just Trade Alliance Group, but every business has gone through some pretty awful things. And so each time it rears its head, it's, oh crap, what do I do? So you can either retreat into depression, anxiety, or you can embrace it and go, okay, this has happened, this is the worst it can be, or it might not be that bad, and this is how we get through it. So I guess overcoming fear and just being able to deal with all these awful situations that get thrown at you. And as the business grows, the problems grow, not maybe in the number of problems, although that too, but the size, the importance, the scope of the problem just gets larger and larger. And if I stuff this up, then not just a few people lose their jobs, now it's closer to 20 people lose their jobs. So got to get it right. So there's expectations on self as well as just being able to manage the difficult circumstances.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading about a week ago a little bit of Ryan Holiday and stoicism, and there was this thing that stood out for me, and I'm pretty sure it was Marcus Aurelius who said that. He goes, anxiety will have zero influence on what's just about to happen.
Yes.
Right? So fear, which is one of those things, right? We all have it. I mean, it's ingrained in us as human beings. The fear, and sometimes fear is not about the unknown. It's not about fear of failure, as we most likely resonate to. It's sometimes the fear of success. Being successful is an uncharted place for many of us. And if you're on a journey that's continuously moving forward, then, success will be at various points of reference, at various crossroads, be occurring. So when you go to that new place, that new level, that new whatever it may be, whether it's business, whether it's life, whether it's, you know, sport or anything you put your hand to, there is that healthy anxiety of this is a new space, and therefore, you know, anxiety, fear, and uncertainty and doubt, they all play out, but they have zero influence on what's just about to happen, right? Which is quite interesting. Now, I love that. Hey, mate, if you could go back, Brent, if you could go back to tell your 17-year-old self three things, what would they be?
First of all, you'll learn and achieve way more than you thought possible. So when I was that age, I was just starting university, studying accounting and IT, and my dream job was to sit in a little cubicle behind a computer and not have to talk to anyone. And that was exciting for me, just having my own little bubble. Well, that dream lasted maybe a year or two, and then my father tapped me on the shoulder and said, come and run the business. And it's been goodbye comfort zone ever since. So that's number one. Secondly, delayed gratification is worth it. And my natural instinct is to do this, but there's always spots along the way where you go, is it really worth it? This is tough. Should I keep pushing through? And in a number of areas of my life, I can look back now and go, yes, it was worth it. Good job. But hold the line, because there's still more delayed gratification I'm trying to do. And then thirdly would possibly be, don't get into World of Warcraft, because I've spent quite a few hours of that in my younger years, just living in another world instead of really living in this one.
Well, that's interesting. I want to hear more about that. If I was a listener now and I heard that, you've just raised a massive antenna on. So how do we ensure we're living in this world versus perhaps an alternative one? How do you go back to being 17 years old and truly communicating that one?
It's a tough one, that's for sure. When you're that young, you're not thinking about the future. You're just thinking about the enjoyment. So I guess it ties into the delayed gratification. You need to do the work, do the right thing, put your big boy pants on and get it done. And then you can have a little bit of fun. Don't live your whole life just to have fun.
Okay, mate. Now that for a 17-year-old. Now I don't need a Wikipedia on that one, right? So, mate, thank you for unpacking that, and I so resonate with that. Thank you. If you could remove all barriers and constraints, right? All barriers and constraints. There's no obstacles, just absolute windscreen time. What project would you do, and why?
There's one to help out builders and possibly landscapers in terms of an all-in-one estimating, pricing, ordering solution. So we know we've got lots of good estimators. They do fantastic job estimating, but quite often it isn't tied into live pricing, up-to-date pricing from the suppliers. Although there are integrations and things that do provide that. It's not across everything and it's not always up-to-date. And so, yeah, I'd really love to be able to figure that one out, but there's a whole lot of little complexities in there. Like what if one supplier over here has a cheaper price, but they don't deliver on time? Or what if you're splitting up an order and then you'll need multiple deliveries and the extra delivery cost just doesn't make it worth it? So there's a lot to consider in that, but it can still be made better than what it is today. So yeah, would like to see that working.
Mate, I love where you're going with that. That just needs, it seems to me that is something that, again, if we take the scientific element of what you were just sharing, it's an algorithm. It's a scoring system that gets built. And I think that's an awesome what if. Love that.
And maybe AI will help with that.
Well, no, not maybe, it will. And the algorithm is supported definitely by AI. I don't think there's too much on that, on those platforms now, where that can't enhance or create further depth to Yeah, so that's the algorithm. So I love that. I think actually, and maybe what you've just shared is your next biggest project. Who knows? That's amazing. That's really
We're
cool.
working on a
I see.
few integrations to get that process started, but it's going to be a longer project.
Oh yeah. And speed in anything will cause an accident. So no speed needed, man. Just continued depth in the thinking here, in my opinion. And I'm a huge believer, Brett, of put 80% into the planning, and therefore the 20% you put into the plan is going to be nailed.
Yes.
Whereas in Australia and this part of the world, we put 20% into the planning. We end up 80% being the plan, and we've got no idea what we were thinking 6 months ago, right? So I think you've got an awesome opportunity in the next, I don't know, 12 days, 12 months, 12 years to think that one a little deeper, mate. Well done. Love that. Hey, what's the biggest surprise you've ever had in business or life, and why?
It might come as a shock to you, but I'm not always right. So I used to think when I was younger,
No, no way.
had all the answers. I just knew what everything was. I hit the nail on the head every time, except when I didn't, and that's when the problem was even bigger because I thought I was right. I was convinced I was right, and I was really wrong. And yeah, just a few $100,000 here and there for a few little mistakes. Helps you get over that pretty quickly.
I always refer to those ones as, okay, I've just signed, or I'm just about to sign the $100,000 dumb tax for the month, for the year, for the day,
Yes.
and referencing that. And I actually have a scoreboard up here in front of my office as to the last 12 months dumb tax checks that have been signed. Not only, like, as the CEO of Business Benchmark Group, the buck stops with me. I allowed that to happen directly or indirectly, because it was in my watch, on my watch. And but in fairness, they are also the investments into the knowledge gap and the improvement gap. And it is definitely a dumb tax. And there's upside to those ones, I'm going to say, because the alternative
Definitely.
is I'll curl up and cry, mate. So it's all good. So we're speaking to Brett Crowther, General Manager of Trader Lands Group, an amazing organization that zeroes into our tradies and construction-based businesses in Australia and in the region, and certainly supports them with absolutely reliable and predictable procurement, as is the toolbox of services that they have on offer, ranging from insurance to bookkeeping to a whole myriad of a bag of tricks and toolbox of tricks there that support businesses being stronger and more predictive for their future and their profitability. Brett, one of our strategies we teach here at Business Benchmark Group is business owner time, setting time aside weekly to work on the business, to keep it really simple, right? As a reference. So, business owner time, do you have any secret routines? And we also say 5% of your working week, right? 5% of your working week. Most small business owners in Australia and New Zealand, they're working literally 50 hours is probably the typical. And we say 5% of your working week, start moving the dial, building the habit. So, do you have any secret routines that help you stay productive? What's been your biggest failure in the last in the last year as it relates to those secrets? And what are you doing about that in the next 3, 6, 9 months?
Yeah, that one's easy now. It was certainly not easy in the beginning, but now I put it on the calendar. It's just a meeting like any other meeting. I've got more meetings than I probably should, but it's on the calendar as a meeting. I've got a coach or a mentor who I meet with. It's on the meeting. I've got to get that done so I can show them. So yeah, accountability, put it on the calendar, get it done. And so that's not a problem for me anymore, but years ago, it was, yeah, working the 50-hour week, not getting everything done and trying to carve out that little bit of time. That's when it's tricky. And it might mean you just have to do 55 hours that week to start pushing the needle in the right direction.
No, definitely. And that whole piece around just having someone in your corner that absolutely is clear about your motivation, your journey, your vision, if we were to go there, and hold you true to that. I think there's I know for me, over 30 years, having that in my corner consistently is a massive factor as to where I am in life right now. No two ways about it. And there's no secret routines there. It's like literally it's discipline and building better habits. And the only way you can build better habits is acknowledge and get rid of bad habits, you know, which is one of those sort of trade-offs, isn't it? So I guess if you think about the last year, if there was one thing you could let's go with basic language here. If there's been a failure in the last 12 months, why do you think that happened, and what did you do to learn from that?
A key team member of ours left the business with next to no notice, and I kept on reprimanding myself, if you want to put it that way. Like, how did I not see that coming? I'm meeting with them every week. I feel like I know them, and then bam, they're just gone. Ultimately, they weren't the best cultural fit. I kept trying to ignore the warning signs because I know we've got a great culture here. So why would there be a cultural misfit? Like, he'll come around, it'll be all right. But no. So that comes back to me, like, why did I not see it coming? Because I didn't want to see it. Like, I wasn't being completely objective. But it's got to be my job to protect our culture. I should have had my eyes wide open trying to prevent anything like that from happening. So it's another one of those learning experiences. But I still, when I think about it, I get mad at myself.
Yeah, it's interesting, that one, isn't it? I mean, you know, we sort of create that artificial, I guess, version of the truth. Like, we can see it, but I'm sure it's going to be right in a week's time. I'm sure I'm doing enough and putting enough into this for it to be right. And in fairness, you are also building that piece called denial. Like, it's not okay. I'm not addressing the real issue here. I'm hoping it's going to be fixed, which is that artificial truth, right? And it does come, and it happens in not just with our people, but it happens across so many areas of our businesses and our I guess even our life. So how do we get to brutal truth? How do we truly elevate and optimize transparency and honesty as a key piece to our culture? And that to me is it's just one of those things that I've learned over many years in leadership and not only leading many of our clients' businesses, but leading my own business and my own life. The more honest I am with myself, the quicker I deal with uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The quicker I have an opportunity to say, okay, well, I've got a small problem right now. My job is not to be short. It becomes a big problem, right? And so the artificial truth, which is one of the chapters in my second book, actually, the impact of artificial truth. So I love that. And thank you for sharing that, because I guess there's plenty that are listening to this podcast right now that would resonate with, hey, optimize for brutal truth, deal with uncomfortable, and either solve it or know that you've killed it. Right. So, you know, it's and I know that's fairly brutal in its own right, but that's the choice. What makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
On the work side of things, it's seeing the rest of the team excited to come to work every morning, inspired to do their best work. They just want to be here. And that is, I guess, that feedback loop saying I'm doing at least one thing right. And so I want to then become a better person, better leader, so that I can keep making sure that this is the place that people like to show up and do their life's best work.
Man, I love that. And in fairness, when you reflect on that, and if there was a scorecard, if there was a number on that, where do you feel the score for what you're leading right now is out of 10, 10 being high? Where do you feel it is right now, if you were to put a number on that?
My immediate first thought is 9, but then that might breed a little bit of complacency. So I'm going to knock it back to 8.
Well done. And perhaps it's a 7.8, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that type of scoring when it comes to, I guess, a reference to how do I feel? Man, if you can build muscle around that, is my recommendation to everyone listening to this podcast right now. If you can build a muscle around scoring those how do you feel type responses that we have in our lives every so often, I think it certainly serves us in a big way. Now, mate, a bit of fun here, right? And we always ask this question. It fascinates me as to the answers we get. I'm a huge again, I love people. I love being around amazing people. People that, you know, absolutely are going places, right? So if you could have a dinner party with just three people, they're either dead or alive, that's not the point, but if you could have a dinner party with just three people, Brett, dead or alive, who would they be and why have you chosen them specifically?
Yeah, first of all would be Simon Sinek and Patrick Lencioni. So both have been instrumental in the development of, I guess, my philosophy of work culture. And very, very inspirational and developmental for what Trail Alliance Group is today. And thirdly would be Jordan Peterson. I just really resonate with his line of thinking and it gives me a little bit more certainty and courage to speak what I think is true as well.
Wow. Okay, so for those listening, Simon Sinek, famous for the book, the absolute global bestseller, Why. Pat Lencioni, an amazing author of plenty of books, but the one that is absolutely outstandingly known for is The Five Dysfunctions of Team. And Jordan Peterson, the 12 irrefutable laws of life, and I love Peterson because he just says it the way it is, man, and he's a phenomenal. There are people that either love Jordan or they don't love him, and he's a speaker, he's a communicator of the truth, that's for sure. Love that. Love, mate, I'd love to be at that dinner table. My God. If I can help you unwind three financial decisions, Brett, in your life, how much more money would you have right now?
In my personal finances, it might be $200,000 or $300,000. I feel like I've done a decent job on the personal side of things, but man, have I made mistakes on the business side of things. So that'll be million plus easy.
Love that. So cool. And what are your views on personal development, which we've heard a fair bit, like it's resonating, it's coming to the surface here, and no surprise as it relates to, you know, the business you're leading, the community you're leading, and how personal development is a big piece. However, what are your views on personal development? Should you invest, and does it fast track success? What's your words on that to our audience here today?
It's really non-negotiable. To be a great leader, you have to be a better person. You need to do the work. You need to understand things, see things differently, have more tools to understand different situations. You just have to. It's the only way your business can grow when you grow. So you level up as a person, to level up as a leader, to level up your business. You just have to.
I love that. And if your father was in this room and he was to hear you answer this, what is the single best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best
advice. Be your father's, right?
My father's advice.
Doesn't have to be your father's, but he was in the room listening to this answer, right? That's what makes it even more real, right? What is the single best piece of advice you've ever received as you reflect on life?
Yeah, related to the last one, actually, to level up your business, you need to level up yourself. You need to be a better person, a leader. So it's definitely related. I was working so hard. I knew what I was doing. I was doing the right thing, but I just wasn't getting stuff done. So to level up the business, I had to level up myself, my own thinking, to get rid of that thought that we need to do everything as cheaply as possible as well. That's all related. Like you just need to be better so your business can better. You need to spend time working on the business. Yeah, but the trap is, as you know, when you're so busy working in the business, you don't even realize that there's more work to do on the business. So you're harming both yourself and your business by not actually doing this work to level yourself up. So that one realization to level up your business, you need to level up yourself as a person. It snapped me out of that that situation I was in. But it's not like everything was fixed after that realization. There was still a lot of hard work to do after that. Things did not get easier for a couple of years. That there was more hard work, but at least you're working towards something instead of just stuck in it. So definitely to level up your business, you need to level up yourself first.
Wow, pretty cool. So that is our sharing here in today's episode of the Business Benchmark Group podcast. And we are thrilled and excited to have shared some words of wisdom, some reflection points and some reset points with the general manager, the driving force behind Trade Alliance Group, the one and only Brett Crowther. Thank you for your time, Brett. Really appreciate you being here and sharing a handful and more so moments of truth and power to you and everything you do there.
Thank you, Stefan. It's been an absolute pleasure.